SDK. Welcome to Business Life After Hours, a podcast that takes a deep dive into real-life topics at the intersection of business and life. After the workday ends, that's where we pick up. Here on Business Life 360 and my podcast, Business Life After Hours, we're exploring artificial intelligence and its transformative impact on business and our daily lives. In studio with me is Tom Bush, our AI expert and visionary in the field. Tom, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thanks. I'm super excited. This is a big topic, so we'll see how far we get into it, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, as our expert, I know you're going to inform us on what we need to know about AI. So given that, with AI evolving so quickly, what would you say, if you could, as of this point in time, what is the definition of AI and artificial intelligence?
So artificial intelligence is really having a computer do what usually is ascribed to a human to be able to do. And if you think about like how we've gotten to here, it's really been a journey. If you think back to like Gutenberg's press, this was the replication of information. Then came many years later, 1970s-ish, if you want to say, when they invented the internet, the first TCP/IP internet connection. Now we have disbursement of information. And then this latest piece is really the creation of new information at a rapid pace. And so that's really what artificial intelligence is adding to this journey we've been on since humans invented information and intelligence.
Mm-hmm. And as we start to think about the tasks that can be done by AI and these AI robots we continue to hear about, what are some of those examples? And is that the same thing as machine learning?
Yeah, so artificial intelligence actually encapsulates a large topic, and there's lots of different sub-disciplines underneath it. Machine learning is one specific capability, and this is where you give the computer a bunch of information, and you train it on how to look at, say, images, and so it can identify a dog or a cat. Machine learning is specifically that. One of the things that's got all the press right now is what's called Gen AI, or generative artificial intelligence. That's generating new information. And so your ChatGPTs, your Microsoft Copilot, Claude, these AI chatbots are really focused on this Gen AI capability. So there is a difference between the two.
So talk to us about this term input in is sort of the output we're going to receive.
Yeah.
What is that all about when it comes to how we're really developing and forming AI?
Sure. Yeah, so when you talk about machine learning often and AI in general, you're talking about prediction, right? It's trying to create a prediction. So an old adage is junk in, junk out, you know? So what we put in is what we get out. So when we're trying to create a machine learning model that can say, predict the stock market, as we've always heard, the past does not predict the future in the stock marketplace. Well, in AI, you have a similar, it can see what's happened in the past and it can take a good shot. Now, the advantage of AI is that it can take in a whole bunch of information. Mm-hmm. And so the more information it can take in, maybe the lesser quality information you could put in to still get something useful out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it still has a similar capability of what you put in is what you get out.
When we talk about business, obviously what we put in, we're going to get out of this whole thing. So how does a corporation use AI for a competitive edge?
Oh, for competitive edge, yeah. I mean, we're in an age of productivity, and AI is definitely an accelerator for all of your employees in almost every aspect of what they're doing. We see companies, for example, be able to reduce training. Today, a training program for a new employee, you're educating them on all these policies and capabilities that they need to be able to do, and maybe teaching them about scenarios that they may not encounter for another year or a year or two out. Mm-hmm. Imagine putting a chatbot in play where they could just ask, what's the policy on this? How do I solve when I encounter this type of problem? So it's allowing for more real-time information to be disseminated to the individual when they need it versus having to do a long-term training. Mm-hmm. Companies are saving billions around process improvements. The advantage of artificial intelligence is that it can take in a large amount of data and hold that in its mind while it thinks through a problem. which is difficult for humans to take in all of these different parameters. Well, if you think about process improvement and, you know, producing a bottle for less, your ability to analyze how your process is running and the AI suggesting what parameters you might change to go faster. Mm-hmm. These are some of the examples that would help businesses save lots of money and go faster. But it's really at this juncture with the Gen AI side, it's about the individual and what are they doing today that feels repetitive, redundant, and is what I call painful, mm-hmm. meaning it's just like very tedious. Mm-hmm. Those are things that bots could do very easily.
And to improve everything from CQI, process management, all of those things. And you know, also AI really is involved in helping with data analysis and everything from customer behavior and analyzing how consumers buy products. Can you tell us a little bit more and dive a little bit deeper into how that works? And you mentioned creating chatbots for certain things, describing that for us as well.
Sure, yeah. I mean, the ability to look at a market and understand, I mean, imagine that you could, and I know this is happening today, people are analyzing Twitter, for example, to understand what's the current sentiment, or sorry, it's called X nowadays. What is the sentiment out there, mm-hmm. right? What's the mm-hmm. topic of the day?
Right.
What are people conversing on? And using that and tying it back to, well, how does that relate to my sales for my product? And so if I see that we're talking, you know, if it's a big topic at the moment is related to, say, music and some release of a big CD, then how does that relate to my product, mm-hmm. whatever it is? How does that relate and make it so that we can start to predict when this goes up, then I likely this will go up, or if this goes down, then my stuff will go down.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the cool things about the targeting the bots on bigger sets of data is that can create correlations that we maybe hadn't noticed previously. And then creating chatbots internally for companies, this has definitely been an accelerator to get better access. We've worked with local governments who, for example, have copious amounts of rules and regulations. And one of the things they spend a lot of time on is answering questions on the phone about certain rules or regulations. And what we've proposed to them is chatbot that will basically allow the person calling in to either speak with an AI that will be able to answer its question directly or have a chat on their website, mm-hmm. so that they can get the answer to their question without having to call a human.
Very interesting. So now, if there is someone watching and listening right now who says, you know what, I really don't want to delve into AI, I'm really not interested, well, clearly it's already impacting our lifestyles. Give us some examples of how it's already impacting us and why these people should really care. Why should all of us care about AI and what the implications may be going forward in our future?
Absolutely, yeah. So if you tried to ignore AI, it's going to happen to you, right? So, I mean, we are encountering AI every day. If you've gone to a grocery store recently and checked out and a bunch of coupons print out, that's a machine learning model figuring out based on what you've purchased. Here's some coupons to entice you to purchase more.
Mm-hmm.
There are machine learning models behind most of the apps that you use on your phone that are basically giving intelligence. And recently we had an open conversation at the government level about TikTok and whether that should be there. Well, the reason they're concerned is about how much information can be gleaned off of there and then have machine learning or AI pull out information about that individual and or groups of people and how to manipulate them. So, I mean, you do want to understand where AI plays, and it's really about similar to how we have the concept of fake news and or just news articles in general. When you see a statistic, you know, when you're coming through high school, your math teacher or your civics teacher should have said, always question that statistic, you know, like when they tell you that 20% of the people want this, it's what you're consuming. You need to be thinking about, well, what's the likelihood of AI being involved here? Mm-hmm. Fortunately, today, it's still pretty obvious when you hear something or you see something, you can say, oh, that looks like it's AI generated, because there's little nuances here mm-hmm. or there. You know, somebody will have another arm, somebody will have too many fingers. You know, there's still some things that the AI hasn't quite got perfect yet. So it's easier to suss out, but it's gonna get harder.
Yes, for sure. And I'm thinking about the media. as an industry and an example of where AI is really going to have some big implications.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw the Screenwriters Guild strike in California. They were concerned about the fact that AI can generate a script. You ask it to write a script and boom, there's a script. Now, how good it is definitely still a question. And, you know, kind of back to your original question of what you put in is what you get out. But in media, you know, there's already tools out there that help with editing, can help auto edit. There's
Photoshop.
Yeah, Photoshop's been around for a long time, mm-hmm. but Photoshop's gotten even better where, you know, it can, if you had an image and you wanted a little bit more of the scenery, you can now just drag it out and AI will generate what it thinks might have been to the right of that picture that you have.
All right, I have to interject. So how will we as consumers know the difference?
Well, it's a great question. There's half of the answer is maybe you don't have to care. But there is definitely, you know, especially how we are concerned about whether it'll play into our, you know, deciding how we vote and misinformation being generated more rapidly. Most of the problems that you can think about related to AI and what it might cause there's parallels in how that's always been there. You know, mm-hmm. I had a funny story. Somebody said to me once, you know, oh, I'm really concerned that AI can mimic someone's voice. And so when I pick up the phone, it sounds like that person. But then they went on to tell a story of how back in the 90s, somebody called and was acting like their son to to the son's grandfather and asked for money and got the money. So this kind of these kind of schemes that we were concerned about when it comes to AI, a lot of them have existed. So you just have to remain diligent as you always have on, is this real? Is it, you know, does it impact me? And how do I smartly think through the situation so that I don't get taken advantage of effectively?
Mm-hmm. So questioning things and really looking at the reality of the situation, one situation at a time, likely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. I mean, mm-hmm. it can equally be used for good as it can be for bad.
Yeah.
And I think you just have to think about how it plays in your life, what you need to achieve, and what are the tactics you can put in play to protect yourself.
That's a great point. I think many of us, myself included, have these thoughts of fear when we think about the future of AI and robots and some of the things that we hear and read that potentially could impact the human race down the road if you really play it out. Can you talk to us more about what that feels like, what that looks like as AI kind of plays out and becomes much more sophisticated, if you will?
Sure. Yeah, I think there's often I'll get a question, we'll start locally. Often I get the question of like, am I gonna lose my job, right? Mm-hmm. And that specifically, I think the answer today is no, you're not going to lose your job, but your job might look different. Mm. If you hold all things constant, where you say, oh, my company will only ever do this, and therefore if an AI does that, will there be loss of jobs? The answer is possibly. However, no company that I know of is like that. When you optimize a certain part, they're going to grow and explore other areas. And I think that's really the great part about AI, is it's going to give us more time to explore the adjacent products we could build, the more advanced products we could build, to really help us figure out, you know, if I'm a script writer, what if you could, you know, you could use AI to help you write more scripts faster, but you still are able to put your edge on it. Mm-hmm. But if it puts the 75%, you know, complete draft together for you, think about how many more jobs you could go do, how many more scripts you could be writing. So I think we're about to enter into a time when creativity and creation is going to accelerate, mm-hmm. because we will be able to, all of that stuff that slowed us down, that the some of the hard work mm-hmm. part will be done by an AI for us, such that we can do even more. We can be more versatile. We can explore more avenues.
Oh, I love that. Innovation, creativity really can be opened up at that point.
Absolutely.
Hadn't thought of it in that regard. Are you telling me I don't ever have to write another TV script and a TV show and podcast again?
Well, you know, a funny story. My wife runs a counseling group for women. And, you know, one night I saw her toiling away on the computer. The next night she was toiling away on the computer again. And I said, hey, what are you working on? And she said, oh, I'm creating all these Instagram posts using a software called Canva. And I said, well, you know, I think AI could probably do that for you, right? And so I showed her a YouTube video of how it's done. And you can get all the way to the point where the AI is basically generating these for you. And then you can schedule them out. So you could have your whole year of Instagram posts basically scheduled and get it done in a day. And you know what she said to me? I just want to do it myself. So when you ask me if you're ever going to write a script again, there's a little bit of, you know, I just want to handcraft that, do it myself,
Sure.
I think humans will retain no matter how good our AI gets. Mm-hmm. So there's actually conversations about, will human crafted things create a whole new market, right? Because if you think about a handcrafted script or a hand, you know, human made, and so there's whole new market opportunities for something that we didn't think, that we took for granted,
mm-hmm.
you know, that this was handcrafted. There's artisans today, but I think as you move, 10 years from now, the fact that this was handcrafted will actually be a little bit of a novelty, but also something that people will pay for.
Talk to us, Tom, about how these benefits in corporate America and in these different industries are going to impact productivity and sort of corporate goals and profitability.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, AI, it's an efficiency gain. People are saying, well, like I think Bill Gates has been recently quoted as saying that the AI is going to displace white collar jobs first. And I think one of the interesting things to think about in that space around, okay, productivity happens. Do you still need me if I can do this? And I think, as I stated earlier, the idea that you can create more, that you could, we recently went into the Opportunity Challenged community and experimented to see what would happen if we gave AI to people who are barely able to use a computer, you know, trying to help bridge that technical divide. And the cool thing that we found was that A, it gave people a lot of confidence. B, they found that they would be able to do things that they'd never thought possible. And one of the examples that we got out of it was an individual who said, you know, I get employed, I do a fantastic job, I get promoted, but at that point, I'm slower, I'm not as smart, and I end up getting fired because I can't perform at that next level. But they saw how having an assistant, an AI assistant, could help them achieve that. And it made me think about jobs that we take for granted, possibly,
mm-hmm.
like a secretary
mm-hmm.
or an administrative assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Today, a bunch of their work is manual, typing at a keyboard, working behind the desk. But how much more value to your customers as a business owner would it be if that administrative assistant who may be at the front desk is out in front of the desk and making sure that, you know, the customer is greeted as they come in and that they're made comfortable and, you know, some of the more intangible elements that you expect of them, but sometimes they can't fully address because they're copying one spreadsheet to another, they're typing the next letter. And so I think there's an opportunity for us to reevaluate roles in corporations and see what do I actually want you to be doing? There are a lot of Harvard and Yale grad accountants out there who find their personal value in editing spreadsheets. And the reality is the company that hired them, because they were graduates from these great schools, didn't want to hire them to be great spreadsheet makers. They hired them because they wanted their brain to be engaged looking at already completed spreadsheets. And so I think that's where we're going to see efficiencies in these early days at corporations is automating some of those business processes where humans today are turning the crank, but we're going to take the human to be the intelligent being looking mm-hmm. at it. And so at Actual Reality Technologies, my company, we're focused on augmented intelligence, which is the pairing of humans and computer to make the human superpowered. And that's really the angle that we look at everything that we approach when it comes to AI.
I can't help but think as you're talking about the timeline and how this is just going to be that snowball effect as we look forward. How do you see this playing out, and at what point am I going to have to report into an AI boss?
So how soon is the world going to be taken over by AI is a fun question to think about. And, in parallel, how soon am I going to be a cyborg? You know, how soon is that chip going to be planted in my head? You know, the reality is that over time we've been delegating more and more to computers. You know, like, so it started with a calculator, right? Mm-hmm. We delegated our knowledge of how to execute math quickly to this calculator. Today, we are definitely directed on how to drive our cars by our GPS, you know, and on our cell phone. And we have that cell phone, which is a, you know, a computer right next to us telling us things a lot, like your next meeting is now, right? Mm-hmm. You should go to that meeting. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting how we've, over time, technology has infused itself such that we are cyborg-ish already. Taking our direction from a computer.
For sure. And when we get in the car, our GPS, when we ask for directions from Siri, when we kind of continue to use our mobile devices in that way, little by little, we're depending on them. It's like you and I had talked before, I don't remember phone numbers anymore because I don't have to remember anyone's phone number.
Yeah, and it's interesting how you didn't mark the moment when you forgot phone numbers.
No.
It just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I guess a study could be done on, okay, with that extra brain space now that you've freed up, that you don't memorize everybody's phone number, what are we doing with that?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we, and I think, like I said, it's going to create us opportunity to be more creative. It's going to give us more opportunity to do the important things. And it's really a question of, both in business and in life, what are those important things? And how do we slow down to take advantage and focus on those?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I look at, you know, okay, so maybe my work day, you know, right now California is experimenting with a 4-day work week, right? And if we're more efficient, now we have 3 days with our family, full days, instead of, you know, 2 on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a moment coming soon just around how do we as humans connect now that the computers are doing all the boring stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great assessment. It's a great perspective that we need to be thinking about. And as you said, really, as we look ahead to the benefits of AI, that certainly is one of them.
So I think one of the things that AI is going to enable in all of us is to act more in a permissionless way. Today, we are taught that, you know, in order for myself to call myself a computer scientist, I have to get a job. I have to get permission from somebody who hires me to be able to call myself a computer scientist. Today, there's enough technology and enough YouTube videos and enough stuff around you and affordability of things in the tech space that you could be a computer scientist without asking anybody's permission. If I was passionate about building some piece of software, I could go off and build it, and I could watch YouTube videos and figure out how it's done. In the same way, if you wanna be a cartoonist and you wanna animate cartoons, you don't need anybody's permission to go be a cartoonist. Mm-hmm. You just need to start doing it. And I think this is one of the things that's great about what AI has brought us to at this moment is that if you want to start a business and you don't know how, all you have to do is open ChatGPT and say, what are the first steps on running this business? What's the likelihood that this business would be successful? If I were to start this business tomorrow, what's the first 2 steps I should do? Oh, I don't understand step 1. Could you give me more details? I mean, think about how AI can now guide people to do things that they were not able to do previously. And I think that's this permissionless idea, this ability to get out there and just do, has been enabled with AI.
I love that. Now, the skeptical side of me says, how do I believe everything that I am being told back to input and output?
No.
So what if I'm starting a new business and I say, okay, ChatGPT, how do I do this?
Yeah.
I get that back. How do I trust that AI's information coming back to me is accurate and correct and you know, leading me down the right path.
This is why at Actual Reality Technologies, my company, we are focused on augmented intelligence because we strongly believe human in the loop is still very important.
Uh-huh.
You know, when people talk about, well, the bias that I get, you know, if you were to perceive bias out of an AI, mm-hmm. like ChatGPT.
Which we've heard has happened.
But if you perceive that, you do not have to propagate it.
Mm-hmm. True.
This is why human in the loop is important, because the human can decide. While you might have been offended, you don't have to take it outside that moment. You can say, oh, that was not good. I'm going to change that message to be this because I know it's more universal. And so that's where human in the loop, I think, is super important, especially still today, because A, the thing can hallucinate. I have a fun story. I was working with a bunch of nonprofits, and I popped in a list of all the nonprofits that were going to be at this training. And I said, okay, go ahead and create a table that has the five most impactful things the nonprofits can do with AI and five new and unique things they could do to get more donors, right? And so create this table and give it to me. And it just starts chunking away. And I'm like, oh, this is so great because I'm going to look so awesome because I have all this information. Well, I started parsing through it. And number one, it stopped early, so it didn't do all of them. Okay, that's one thing I had to notice. Two, the last three that it ended on were interesting. One was an environmental group, which I was like, oh, I didn't realize this environmental group existed in this area. So I looked it up. It doesn't exist, right? It made it up. And so the last three were all made up. It assumed while my area does have a zoo, it had the wrong URL. It was not referring to the exact zoo that we have. And it was very intriguing to see what's called a hallucination. And that's where you as the human have to be a little bit diligent. Mm-hmm. You need to at least read it mm-hmm. and confirm for yourself that it looks right and maybe do some veracity checking. And so it was really interesting because now I might go start this environmental protection group because I was like, oh, that one.
Great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And it already told me how to leverage AI, five different ideas,
right.
And five ways to go get some donors. I'm like, job's half done. Mm-hmm. So hallucinations you do have to watch out for, and you want to be able to pick them out. And so that's why when I get an answer, I'm using it mostly for brainstorming, where veracity doesn't matter. Creativity, you can be wrong, you can experiment, you can go take one step down that road and say, oh, that wasn't right. But when you're trying to produce information to hand to others, mm-hmm. you should definitely check it.
Yeah, now, to your point as well, at what point do we, as humans, reach sort of a point of no return where we don't any longer have the ability to question it because we just believe it, because we've been involved at this AI sort of output that's coming our way that we don't know the difference.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit where Gen AI and machine learning split. So Gen AI, which is all the ChatGPTs and all of that, mm-hmm. hallucination is still a concern there. Mm-hmm. When it comes to machine learning and training the computer, it can actually, on the machine learning side, it can tell you probabilistically how correct it is. It can say, I think this is likely, however, I reserve this much room for error, right? Like, I think I'm, so then you as the human decide, okay, well, it said it was 87% confident that this is the right answer. On the Gen AI side, we don't have that yet today. We don't have, the computer's not able to say, I believe that this answer is 87% correct. In fact, it does the worst possible thing, which is it asserts that this is the correct answer, right? So it asserted to me in that prior example that this is a group that exists and doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing that the human needs to bring to the table at the moment is double check its work. But on the machine learning side, we can get really accurate and we can start to defer some of our intelligence and some of our veracity. We can relax it a bit. Because the computer is able to statistically tell you how likely is it that it's correct, mm-hmm. which is important.
Now, how do you remain on the cutting edge, if you will, of AI information technology and that pathway going forward?
I love this question, and I want to tie it to the way I think we need to change work life at work. Today, we hire people because we think they've asserted to us they're an expert in X, right? And so when we go to their desk and we're watching them work, we expect that they are figuring it out from their own brain, that they are, and they're bringing to the table all the information they need to know, which is a strange thing to expect of any human to know everything about any one topic. Mm-hmm. What I would love to see us shift to, and this is what I encourage in my company, is if everything's probably been done before, is one just assertion. It's probably been done before. So go look on YouTube to see if it's there. Go Google it, and go ask ChatGPT about it and see what the answer is before you spend hours figuring it out for yourself and reinventing the wheel for the thousandth time. And so I think when it comes to staying up to date on all this, my answer is proudly YouTube. I watch a lot of YouTube videos, and I found a few folks that, seem to speak to the topics that I want to hear about. Actual reality, my company is focused in manufacturing, and so I'm watching a lot for process improvement and Industry 5.0. And so I use YouTube and I talk to ChatGPT about topics. Now, ChatGPT is trained on at a certain point, so it doesn't know current things. But you know, there's so much to know at any one point that often it has an answer for something that's coming up. Mm-hmm. So I think yeah, watch more YouTube, which is weird to say, but I think it's something that we should all get really comfortable to be self-learners. And accelerated learning, I think, is a new thing that we all need to get good at.
Mm-hmm. Continuing the growth mindset, the thing I still think about is the resource that is the most trusted. That always comes back to me when I think about AI, and I think, okay, which is that resource? Is it ChatGPT, OpenAI? What is it? What do you mentioned YouTube and some of the things that we know and have seen done already, but is there a particular resource in the realm already of AI that you say, that's my go-to?
There are newsletters. TLDR is one that a lot of techies will check out that you can subscribe to get the latest updates on things. I think it's a little bit of, do some Googling, find a resource that you trust. Like I said, I've looked through YouTube a lot, narrowed myself into two or three folks that I subscribe to now, such that I get their feed, and whenever they produce something, I take it mostly at face value. A lot of what I'm doing is confirming that there's transparency and that there's accountability and that there's, so transparency means I understand where they got their information and that I see them sourcing it to the original thing. Mm-hmm. So if somebody says, hey, did you notice, and this is true, this did happen, so you should source this and figure it out. But as you alluded to earlier, OpenAI and Figure One have produced a robot that can talk back and forth with a human and do certain things. Well, if I heard that from somebody and I didn't believe it, if they are showing me the actual video and sourcing me back to the original thing, now I can start to believe what they've said.
But how do I know that video is not?
Oh, well, there you go. Now we get down into the rabbit hole, because this will become, in the next 2 to 3 years, is going to be harder.
Are we going to have some kind of a certificate of authentication? You know how you do when you buy sports memorabilia or something like that, where they have to authenticate the jersey from an NFL player or something?
Yeah, I think even our government was toying with an idea of, do we have to start flagging things that were AI generated and have some sort of logo that goes there so that we know that that's to be double scrutinied versus what we've been used to. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the younger generations are going to be way more used to this. And so the skill set of, you know, is that real or is it not? I can watch a video today and still to this day, there's not a video that I, when I look at it, that fools me, because I know, you know, I can see certain aspects of a video. And I think no matter how good it gets, I think there will be a generation of humans that will be able to see some nuance, and they're gonna say, well, that's, you know, at least for the next 10 years. And, you know, the interesting thing is, there will be this emergence of authenticity. I like that, and I think that is something that's going to come about. But, you know, we're probably okay for the next 3 years.
3 years.
For the next 3 years,
us.
Write it down. We'll be okay, because it's not going to be so great that you can't decipher it if you're watching for the right things. And I think that's part of the training. If you're really concerned about being fooled, I think it's learning what is it, what do I listen for, and maybe I need to produce a set of videos on how to sleuth that out, because I think it is a technique and a skill that you can learn, and just to have your own veracity and your own, you know, truthiness checker.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Thanks, Tom Bush.
Yep.
So in conclusion, we thank our guest, AI expert Tom Bush, for his insight as we look at today's perspective on our future. This is truly a transformative time in our lives. While a future world with AI may be bright, it is up to us to shape it in a responsible way.
Business Life After Hours is hosted and produced by Christy Kay. Audio engineering, production, and editing by Chris Pfeiffer. Be sure to join Christy for her award-winning television series, Business Life 360, the third Thursday of the month on WGTE HD or at wgte.org/b360. Business Life After Hours is a production of WGTE Public Media.